Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report, it's the rant fallout of Riley's anger from last week. Also, George Lucas retiring? What is this? Also, they've announced more Celebration 6 guests, and of course, burgers that have gone to the dark side, and dogs that have gone to the bark side. This is all coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast on Middle Earth Network Radio. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report. This is episode 30. That's a 3 and a 0, folks. I feel like it's a milestone.
Well, it's our 30th anniversary, sort of.
30th epiversary.
Yeah, exactly.
To steal another saying from Steve Glosson. I'm sorry, Steve.
Really?
I know. I do it all the time.
Again?
I'm one of your hosts, Riley, and with me, as always, is my dear sister and co-host, Bethany.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hi, Riley.
Hi. Yeah. Also joining us last minute, but so glad that he was able to make it as he careened his car into the driveway, I'm sure, and collapsed on his desk.
He parachuted.
Parachuted in. He parachuted That's, in. Mr. Mark Herleman.
I'm not going to say how I went 40 miles in 20 minutes, but I'm here.
And of course, a special guest for this particular episode, and we're going to interview him coming up at about the 8:30 mark, Mr. Ryan Zazzo, our weekly Clone Wars reviewer for StarWarsReport.com. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, glad to be here.
I'm glad you were able to make it.
I didn't parachute in, but no. I've been sitting at my computer desk all day waiting to start. So
yeah, and, I'll compliment you on the podcast as well. So I like the microphone. Sounds good.
Thanks.
It's the audio equivalent of dressing up for a podcast. I like it. Oh my goodness! I love the tease. That's a new thing. I just tried out to see if it would work. You guys like that? Like the teaser of what's coming up on the show?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Over dramatic or something? Maybe not. Maybe.
Drama's a good thing.
I thought it worked. I'm going to go ahead and get this swept out of the way right at the beginning. Last week, I was a little over the top. I'll admit it.
Oh, no, you weren't. It needed to be said. You know it.
Well, I felt like that at the time. I've had a little bit more time, Mark, to sit back and process, breathe a little bit, and not be quite so, over the top.
You know what I was saying the other day, though, about how it goes in circles and sooner or later? That's part two of it. First you overreact and get into it, then you say your opinion, and then you stop and think and go, well,
oh yeah, oh, drat. yeah, and then that happened. Wow, and I say this right now as I sip out of my Clone Wars drinking cup. I don't know if you guys knew they made those. That's pretty cool. So I want to start out this episode before we get into our news and read an email that we got from Anthony. This regards what I was saying last week about why can't we just have a good time. My emotional I don't really think of it as a rant, but Anthony says, "Dear Riley, I really like you," and I love when the first line of the email is, "I really like you," I'm very glad you do, Anthony. I'm also very glad that Anthony decided to email this in. So thank you in advance. He says, and all that I think you're great, and I think all of you are great for making a Star Wars podcast regularly and consistently. And that isn't an easy thing to do, but still I take exception to your rant that fans complain too much or can be critical about too critical about Star Wars. Believe me when I say those who truly hate Star Wars have nothing to do with it. They will not discuss it in Star Wars forums or spend their money on books or comics. They watch the movies and groan and complain throughout and are always angry afterwards. Those people have a very condescending attitude towards Star Wars and Star Wars fans. On the other hand, fans are very critical and upset about certain things that happen within the movies and rightly so in many cases. They invest their time and money because they love Star Wars and hate to see missed opportunities for greatness, which happens from time to time. Actually, criticism to Star Wars has actually made it better in many ways. Take, for instance, the Phantom Menace period, and you'll notice how George Lucas created Star Wars to be so much more adult in the last movie and in the Clone Wars TV show. He's, of course, referring to Revenge of the Sith. No doubt this is largely due to his children growing up, and especially permitting the vulgar TV creators to make profanity-laden Star Wars entertainment in a more adult theme in general. But where was I? But I think that the fan community affected these decisions as well, and here are my main 2 points. One, did you notice that not a single poster or trailer or advertisement for The Phantom Menace 3D do we see Jar Jar?
Ooh, good point.
He says, in parentheses, I know you'll counter that you saw one, but none of the ones I've seen have seen it. point number two, remember how people criticized the acting in Attack of the Clones, prompting George Lucas to get an acting coach for Revenge of the Sith. Anyway, keep up the great podcast, Riley, Bethany, and Mark. I gave you guys 5 stars on iTunes. Sincerely, Anthony. Jedi Madden. Emailing us from Fujisawa, Japan. So an international listener. And my first response is, first and foremost, thank you, Anthony, so much for tuning in to us every week. Doing a regular, consistent podcast is hard work, but it's also fun. So we really enjoy doing it, and it's always nice to get some appreciation like that. And my other response would be, Anthony, you're right. I think you're right. You at the beginning of the email, especially there was one moment where you said you took exception to the way I said. Let's see, where was it?
That the fans complain too much or can be critical too much about
yes.
Star Wars.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Yes, that portion right there where he kind of takes exception to my statement. I think I miscommunicated, but rightly so, because I was so upset at the time last week when I recorded and really did go off. But Anthony, you weren't the only one to do commentary. You did email in. I'm glad you did. I did get some response from various listeners on the social networks and stuff, and people talking about really how that episode, it didn't get the response I was hoping it would get, honestly. But listening back to it, I can see
not
why.
Not the flood of hate mail you were fearing?
Well, no, it's not even that. I was actually kind of hoping my final message of just trying to preach a message of really focusing on what you enjoy about Star Wars and not hating things so much. And I was addressing Star Wars fans. I wasn't really addressing people who don't like Star Wars and have nothing to do with it.
You got to remember, though, that there are certain personality types out there that do enjoy cutting and tearing things down.
Yeah. And I think that's where I miscommunicated last week. And I think, Anthony, you're absolutely right when you emailed me, because you're kind of calling me where I was. I didn't clearly make that distinction where, you know, fans can be critical. And I think that critiquing what we like and don't like about Star Wars is definitely part of the fun. And I've sometimes blurred the line myself. I'm very guilty of this, where I blur the line between fun and constructive criticism and conversation that I enjoy having with people with just people who enjoy tearing things down. And that it because the people who tear things down are around in great number. You will find a lot of quote-unquote haters.
The internet breeds trolls. And
yes. But I think I was talking to Bethany last night about this, where it really got to a point where it kind of jaded me against people who do have legitimate concerns and do have legitimate reasons to dislike this or that about Star Wars. And I think the line, for me personally, is easier to become blurred. You guys kind of hear what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
I think there are several different types that you were speaking about in the episode that perhaps we didn't entirely communicate with. We were kind of drawing a line with different types of fans, but there are people who completely don't like Star Wars, never talk about it, never really say anything except, oh, I really, really didn't like those movies, and that they never spend much time on it ever again because they just simply never liked Star Wars. But then there are those who are simply trolls in the true sense of the word, internet trolls, who enjoy bashing things and run around just bashing things and somehow getting enjoyment out of that. And that, I believe, is not right. Then there are those who are critical, but are intellectually critical. They're critical for good reasons. They may criticize the acting in Attack of the Clones, for instance, Anthony, which, yes, I did find that.
That was new information. I actually had not heard that they got an acting, but it makes a lot of sense. The acting in Revenge of the Sith was considerably improved, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'd never heard about the acting coach thing. Anthony, if you have a link to an article or something, I'd love to read that article because that's really fascinating. And constructive criticism is a good thing, kind of like your email to us in a way.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with criticism, but I do disagree with bashing. And sometimes it's really hard to draw a line as to which is which.
Definitely. All right, so I think we've cleared the palette. Let's move in to do something.
Hold on, I still had one little topic.
Okay, sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
It reminds me of my co-host on Star Wars Beyond the Film, Nathan P. Butler. Mm-hmm. He was one of those, you know, he's a stickler for timelines and dates. And, you know, for those who don't know, he was able to write Star Wars Tales, Equals and Opposites, because of his criticisms. That basically it came to a point where they were like, okay, you do better. You know, and it's just one of those things like, you know, I'm critical of certain things, but not so much dates. But yet Nathan, you know, he does with dates what I do more like with characters. And so it's just one of those things like, you know, when you've been around as often as I have, you see a lot of people get into the debates like you were saying, Bethany, about how, you know, people can get elegant with the reasons that they have against this or that and the other thing. And I remember on the official site, the Force Philosophy, when the midichlorians first came out, and that went in the face of the original, the nub that Kevin J. Anderson had given us, people would try to find ways to work that together. And, man, you would just see some people that could, you know, have a really deep conversation, get angry with each other, but without really getting kind of ticked off, you know?
And no name calling.
You could see it in their writing that they were getting irritated with each other, but at the end of the post, you know, you'd see the comments like, and I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me, and I know we're not agreeing, but it's interesting to get your point of view. And I really enjoyed that thread. I mean, I was on that thread for 4 versions of it and took it to EU Cantina because it was just a great thread. And the people that I would meet in each variation and the level of things that the way people were thinking of things that I had never thought of would open my eyes to new things. And then I'd start pondering new things that I would throw out there. And then they'd start pondering. And I mean, just the level of just wow that you would have in the fandom side of things when you have interactions like that are opposite yet work together. I mean, that's what you really should be striving for. And when you see it and you start to feel like, you know, like how you felt last episode where you're just like, come on, guys, can't we love this? You got to remember that not everybody is going to love it the same way that we do. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm the EU fan here. I'm the one that mm-hmm. wants to see it all incorporated. But I still am going to enjoy a Clone Wars episode that trashes, you know, an element of the EU, because I know a retcon's going to come. Now, there's another fan sitting here next to me that's going to be going nuts, banging their head on the wall, being like, I'm just done. And that's where I have to agree with our little esteemed email here, that it really comes down to what you enjoy. You know, no point in getting all really upset about it. Don't worry.
It's definitely something where I'm going to very much try to focus, again, kind of going back to our conversation last night, Bethany, on focusing on things that I enjoy and become much less of a consumer of opinion on Star Wars in terms of not always. I realize like 98% of what I would do is reading blogs and listening to podcasts and other things of other people's opinion of Star Wars. And I really haven't. I would love to go back to my roots in the year of 2012 and really rewatch the movies a number of times and go back to reading the books as they come out and those kinds of things and really focus on enjoying Star Wars and what I do like about it, and then sharing that with the audience here at the Star Wars Report. So yeah, that's definitely something we'll try to focus on. Well, speaking of stuff coming up, let's talk about before we get into the news. Let's go into SMART goals. SMART goals. Let's do a little bit of planning. Mwahaha. We never were able really to do a proper look ahead episode, unfortunately, but that's just the way it turned out. But that's okay. We've laid out a number of goals and things that we want to do in the year 2012 with the Star Wars Report, and I just wanted to share that with the audience for just a moment. Our big thing is the Star Wars Report. We're attempting to be a unifying force in the fan community. That's really what our thing is. And I think that's kind of where I strayed a little bit last week. I may have been a little bit more divisive than I usually try to be.
I think the overall message that we tried to communicate, which is try to enjoy what you enjoy. Yes, constructive criticism is a part of that, but love your entertainment and... Yeah. You know, have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah. So some things, we have Celebration 6 coming up, and one thing Bethany and I'd love to do that we're still kind of in the brainstorming stage is be able to do one or two, not a ton or anything, but maybe submit one or two panel ideas in the next few weeks and see if we can come up with something fun, like how cool would it be if there was a Star Wars Report style panel discussion. So we've been kind of brainstorming and trying to think of some good ideas. Anybody who has some good ideas for what they would want to see and guests that they might want to see on a panel, feel free to email us and see some of your thoughts. I'd be interested to see all kinds of random ideas have buzzed through my head. And also, Dragon Con is something else that we'll be trying to do this year. Bethany and I had a blast last September. That was crazy.
That was fun.
At Dragon Con. And that was our first time really trying to hit the convention floor and get interviews. And you can go back into our archives. There are like 5 daily episodes that are all between like 10 and 30 minutes long. That was just us walking around or sitting down somewhere at the convention floor. And that was a lot of fun. And also not to mention the 2 different interview shows that we did. Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. So we'll be back at Dragon Con. Something else that's coming up, it was going to come up earlier, but it looks like it might be pushed until next month. But something that we'll definitely be working on is also Nathan P. Butler's Mark, your co-host. We'll be releasing his EU Primer podcast, which is basically just a 6-8 episode series, somewhere in there, which is basically just a way to get acquainted with the expanded universe. And mm-hmm. So we're going to try to set up an airtime and then a podcast for that on our website.
Another thing we'd like to do is try and get some more interviews. We did so many interviews at Dragon Con and at Fan Days that for a while we were completely just interviewed out, as what I said. So for a good while there, we just didn't do any interviews. And I know some of you fan site admins were like, didn't you want us on for an interview? And I was like, yes, but not for another month. I need time. I need time. But interviews are a lot of fun. And Dragon Con was the first time we'd actually done a lot of interviews like that. So it was actually kind of, while they were a whole lot of fun, we did expend a good bit of energy doing them because most of them were off the cuff. We were pretty nervous, still very new to it. Remember, I was quite nervous interviewing Ashley Eckstein because she was the first interview that I was a part of.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of right off the bat.
That was crazy. I remember bombing the Tom Kane interview. I that was horrible. Go back and listen. That was terrible. But we got much better. By the time of Fan Days, we were much better at it. And we want to take the interviews to the next level where we're able to have not just cool guests on, whether they be celebrities or just Star Wars fans from the community. We want to bring really good interviews, no matter who they are and what they're doing, and really take it to that next level and have people recurring as guests on the show, not just coming once from the convention, but you know, be able to get a staple of people who enjoy coming on the show, who have good commentary and a good time, just kind of a staple of guests that we can have on recurring, like our Clone Wars reviewer.
Yeah, I've had some great commentary so far in this episode, and I take all the credit for it.
All right, there you go. Something else, an audio drama. We've bandied about this for months, Mark, but I would love to do a good audio drama this year for the website. What, when, how, why? I have no idea. But I just want to throw that out there. So we've got all kinds of cool stuff. But Mark, you have plans. I know, you, as we said in the last episode, you unfortunately won't be able to make Celebration this year, but you will be at the Rose City Comic Con.
That's right. I was planning on going there either way. I've got friends that live up in Portland, so getting a place to stay and all that won't be so hard. It's just looking like a tank of gas and 2 trips to Burger King, and I'm good to go. So, yeah, I plan on being there and plan on reporting things and tweeting things and just kind of getting a feel for what it's all about.
You
guys,
you go.
you guys had so much fun at Dragon Con last year that, you know, I admit it. I was jealous, you know. You guys come back and you're so amped up, it's almost a turnoff. You're like, dude, I don't want to talk about Star Wars. You guys are, like, having too much fun.
Well, I'm glad you're going to get that convention experience. No matter the size, there's something really unique about gathering together with fellow Star Wars fans.
And that's true because, you know, the only thing I can compare it to is going on my birthday at the midnight showing to see Episode 3 and, you know, my little town, all the Star Wars geeks converged and I was like, wow, I did not know there was this many Star Wars geeks in my town. I felt alone. You know, I was like, what's going on? Where is everybody? And then, you know, I showed up there and it was just like pandemonium. It was probably one of the coolest things I'd ever experienced. And that's just a movie theater size full of people. You know, I couldn't imagine what a con is going to be like. I just can't wait.
Definitely. Yeah, you're going to have a blast, Mark. I'll tell you that. That's going to be a lot of fun. So this is just a sneak peek at some of the stuff we're going to be trying to do this year with the Star Wars Report. Not to mention, this is just something that Middle Earth Network is doing. Of course, our good friends at Middle Earth Network and, of course, Middle Earth Network Radio, they're planning a tour of New Zealand. That's this fall. That's going to coincide with the release of The Hobbit. So if you go to middleearthnews.com, that'll redirect you right to their site where you'll find a place where with all the details. It's a 2-week tour of New Zealand ending in the premiere of The Hobbit. How cool is that? They've got connections with the New Zealand tour industry and, of course, it's big Lord of the Rings and Narnia fans. It would be awesome to go. That's basically all I'll say. If we can go, we would do it. And you never know, the pricing and details and dates and everything haven't been exactly worked out, but it looks like it will pull together, and it looks like it could be a rousing success, because through our friends at Middle Earth Network, with Narnia and Lord of the Rings fans and just film fans in general gathered together, we can do some big group pricing and discounts to make travel overseas a lot more affordable. And so I'm super, super excited about that. Again, go to themiddleearthnews.com and you'll find on the news site the most recent updates about that trip. A tour of New Zealand, guys. How would you like to do that?
I'm already packing my bags.
All right. A little more expensive than something like Celebration would be, but it might be doable. That would be amazing.
Well, see, Riley and I have wanted to go to New Zealand for years now, so it's actually been something we've been saving for. And if we can get a good enough discount, maybe, just maybe. Maybe.
You never know. Star Wars Report live from Christchurch, New Zealand. That you never know. You never know. That'd be cool.
You never know.
All right, we've been putting this off long enough. Beth, every episode we always have 3, 4, 5 news stories that we weren't able to get, and it happens each time we run out of time, etc. And they're always
because
they're
excited
they're
talking
not,
about everything.
Well, there's
else.
Always more fun stuff. There's always so much great stuff to talk about. The stuff that's not quite at the top of the list kind of gets pushed off a little bit. So I'd like to. Bethany and I are going to try something new. We're going to kind of move over to. I'm going to switch up the order, Bethany. You're going to kick us off, and we'll alternate.
No, I'm not kicking you off because my computer just froze and I no longer have the show notes.
Oh, fail
show notes.
Fail.
Just now, just as you
I'm
opened
looking at
your
it.
Mouth. See, it's frozen.
All right, Mark, I'll make a deal with you.
Let's make a deal.
All right, let's see what happens. Do you have it? Do you have it back?
I think so.
Waha!
Yes, it's here.
Are you? That's a very awkward stall.
It.
Are you ready? Hang on.
Yes.
Hang on.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right, so Ewan McGregor apparently was surprised by the news a while back to hear the news of The Phantom Menace being in 3D. This I find kind of interesting. Not that I follow stars very closely, but I find this interesting because it's an example of an actor who's not in the Star Wars realm very much. And so he's actually surprised to hear of something like Star Wars being in 3D. And I'm thinking, how nicely oblivious.
Here's how it's done, Bethany. Sam Witwer was in The Walking Dead and talks about it in a new article with IGN. He was actually already on The Walking Dead. He was that zombie soldier that Rick Grimes came across right at the end of that first episode when he locked himself in the tank at the show's pilot episode as the zombies swarmed around him in Atlanta. It turns out that Frank Darabont had cast Witwer, of course, from Star Wars The Force Unleashed, in a seemingly nothing role because he intended to revisit that character in a flashback story for season 2, which Witwer would have described as kind of a Black Hawk Down type of tale about the fall of Atlanta. And go.
See, that sounds awesome. Awesome!
I know, it's not Star Wars, but it's awesome.
And another thing, too, on the, you know, Frank Darabont and Sam Witwer, I know you guys said this in the show notes, but they worked together on The Mist. And I just want to go a little further and... there was actually some of the main actors from The Walking Dead were also main characters in The Mist. I remember, I can't remember the names of the characters, but the main, you know, female character in The Mist, who's the one where her sister died in The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't watch The Walking Dead. Although, I'm just not a zombie person. The horror genre is out of my realm. Unfortunately,
see, genre, I haven't seen. I've lost cable, so I'm not caught up with this season yet. It hits Netflix.
Yeah,
yeah. Me neither. I've only seen the first season.
Yeah. And the final story of this news, particular news segment that we're not going to give as much commentary on. We've got plenty of great news stories coming up next. But Bob Anderson passed away. The world lost its key contributor to the Star Wars saga, a key contributor to the Star Wars saga last weekend, as Swordmaster Bob Anderson, who coordinated with the lightsaber duels in, of course, Episode 4, A New Hope, and even donned Darth Vader's armor in the high-intensity duel with Luke Skywalker in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. A man who established...
High-intensity duel.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Let's watch that duel next to Episode 3, and let's ask the fans, which one would you call a high-intensity duel?
Yeah, it's it's the most high intensity, definitely of the original trilogy. But yes, the man who established how an elegant weapon from a more civilized age, established the very form of the lightsaber, passed away January 1st in West Sussex, England. At he is now one with the Force. He died at 89 years old. A long and prosperous life, and definitely. If I could say something that cool at my deathbed that I contributed to the world, that would be awesome.
To the world of Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and multiple others.
All kinds of stuff. We'll be right.
And being able to say you donned Vader's armor in the film. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's remarkable. And of course, not Nick Gillard, of course.
Riley, lost you there.
There it is. Yeah. All right. I'll repeat my sentence. The Nick Gillard, of course, from the prequels. Another man I highly respect, but these guys who really just brought Star Wars to a whole new level in terms of all of the stunts and etc. We'll be right back after this break. Oh, wow. That's the new commercial from Volkswagen, the bark side of the Force.
Oh, goodness.
On that note, this episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Toy Hut. ToyHut.com is your source for all the coolest and latest Star Wars merchandise. You want to go over to ToyHut.com and pick out your favorite action figures as they come out. And each week we do a pick of the week. Bethany, do you have some for us?
Yes, actually, Mark picked these a while ago, but we wound up using something else. But I like this Star Wars Attack of the Clones Barriss Offee figure. It's really cool. It's $11.25 and in good condition.
Is that like a prequel version or a Clone Wars version?
Clone Wars version.
Cool.
Yep. They have another version of her, too, a Star Wars Saga version of her from the Battle of Geonosis. So that's actually her at... Yeah, it's more of a live-action type style.
Yeah, definitely. And we always, each week we do it, thank ToyHut.com for sponsoring these last episodes of the Star Wars Report. And they've really been with us, helping us upgrade equipment and really provide a high-quality product to you as we continue to make try to make the Star Wars Report the best possible podcast that we can make it. So once again, head over to toyhot.com. When you check out, even better yet, when you want to go there through the link on the blog post, the show notes for episode 30 of the Star Wars Report. Click through, and they'll know where you came from. All right.
That's right. Help us by helping them. Go out and buy some toys from Toy Hut.
That's right.
The Star Wars show, the scripts are going to be old. If you ever make it, the scripts are going to be years old. Are they timeless?
They're timeless because they take place between episode 3 and episode 4.
A very familiar voice we're listening to. Will that Star Wars live action series ever be made? What will it be called? It sounds like a spy film. I love the way it's like low quality, poor lighting of this, of this YouTube video and a new interview with Rick McCallum where he talks about the impending fate of the Star Wars live action series. Let's take a listen.
20-year period when Luke is growing up. Okay. It's not about Luke, but it's about that period of when, you know, the Empire is really trying to take the thing. And it's called Underworld. So it's the world.
It's called Underworld?
Well, that's a working title. Okay. But basically, it's underneath what's going on.
Okay.
And it's the criminals and the guys, the gangs that are, you know, running, you know, like Wall Street, you know, basically running the United States. You know?
Bernie Madoff.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're not worried.
No,
being as cost-effective as you guys are in your process, the scripts are done.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, okay. They'll only get better at the scripts. And but no, it's really a budget thing. How do we get it down to a cost that is commensurate with the reality? Because, you know, even most people don't realize, but the prequels only cost $100 million each. In the world of Hollywood, that is nothing. And that's why we were so able to do something for, you know, two-thirds less than what the average studio would do it for.
All right, there it is. Latest from the Rick's mouth himself. Rick McCallum, always coming.
I like that. The latest from Rick's mouth.
Well, I love it. Rick McCallum's always like the first guy to spill the beans. Nothing super new.
Well, really, actually, it is. It's a sequel to the movie Rise of the Lycans. Mark, I think you'll get that.
I don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah. I like the Rise of the Lycans. I'm looking forward to. I like the Underworld movies.
The last.
Oh, now I get it.
Okay, what was it? I remember the last update we got on the live action series was back in what was it? Goodness. I think it was a Rick McCallum interview that he did like with the Czech website.
Yeah.
We covered that on the Star Wars Report. The one before that was the season 3 premiere, not the season 4 premiere, the season 3 premiere of the Clone Wars series, where he was asked also by IGN what the status was, and he said it was on the shelf. So it's been on the shelf. It's gathering dust, folks. but it's interesting, later in the interview, Rick talks about how it's he confirms that it's more adult, it's darker, and he confirms kind of the rumors that we've heard about it for years, but basically goes in depth on the marketing of it, talking about how it's really just a matter of economics and the state of video entertainment today, and whether or not how you can market it. Because he basically says, you know, if you go to one of the big networks, NBC, CBS, they want tons of ratings immediately, and the Nielsen rating system is flawed and broken at best anyway, and those are never really accurate. And so the guy asked about, what about somebody like HBO or Star or something Game of Thrones style, of course, very popular TV show right now. And he said, well, yes, but the Game of HBO would want, and what it said, it actually sounded like they went to HBO. They said like HBO would want way too much creative control to alter the story to fit what they want more specifically.
Yeah.
And then even like the Netflix model, it's not mature enough. They don't know that they can make enough money. So basically, economically, can it pay for itself? And, you know, Rick McCallum, bless his soul, reiterated like 3 times in the interview where he said, now this is not to make a bunch of money, because he knows that's what the accusers are going to say. Oh, they're not going to make it because they want to run. He said it's basically just to pay for itself. I get the gist that Lucas doesn't really want to just finance it himself, kind of like he did Red Tails. Sounds more like is this something that they need to be financially viable, and they're just going to sit on it for a while before they do, which is...
That, and even Lucas, if he spent, what... almost a billion dollars on Red Tails himself.
No.
I'm not sure he can keep that up.
Yeah.
Spent over 90 million, so on Red Tails of his own money.
Yeah. There's bunches of money.
I'm not sure you can keep that up indefinitely.
He wants to do that again for the live action series, especially in something as volatile as the television market today. The Clone Wars has its advantage because it does have a very specific target audience that's going to be consistently there. They're going to keep reaching the ratings that they need for the Clone Wars, and the Clone Wars is a lot less expensive to make from what they want. He calls out a number. He says $5 million an episode is basically what they want to make it.
That just seems crazy. I mean,
that's a lot of money.
That's that whole side of Hollywood that I don't get. You know,
do you really need
that much money?
Well, it's the moment where he says, "Oh, and the prequels only cost $100 million to make, which in the world of Hollywood is nothing." And I guess it's just kind of being outside the business. I don't understand the ins and outs, but I understand that these movies are expensive. My goodness, The Hobbit, you know, shooting at tons of locations and feeding hundreds of people over the course of 2 years of production, and you know that's got to add up. And the same thing would if they're doing it. But, you know, it's been done before, and there are shows out there that are breaking ground that are fantastic shows, whether it be Battlestar Galactica in the mid-2000s and what they were able to do on a shoestring budget for a sci-fi film. I mean, Battlestar had its disadvantages, but still, I look at Battlestar, the new series, compared to the classic series when it was literally shoestrings holding up the, you know, it's become much more economical to make a much, much better special effects. But,
well, what do you guys think of the sort of the newer style of TV shows like Battlestar Galactica being on the edge of that, or The Walking Dead, or Game of Thrones, or any of these new shows that seem almost more like a movie the way that they're set and the way that they're created? They're not here's the new story every week and we're following these characters throughout their lives. It's almost like here's an epic saga and we're following much more like a movie story, actually, instead of
kind of like Prison Break. How that one rolled out?
I'm not familiar with Prison Break, but
it was a lot like 24 in the aspect of there was a very solid continuity. One episode led right into the next one, into the next one, into the next one, kind of thing.
Yeah. Hmm. Instead of having a sort of monster of the week feel, it has a very overarching epic sci-fi fantasy adventure feel.
That's the way I like my stories. What about you, Ryan?
Well, I kind of like, for Star Wars at least, I kind of like what Clone Wars is doing, but think of that like in a, you know, a little bit more like cinematic. I'm not saying Clone Wars isn't cinematic. I'm just saying, you know, with a live action series, you know,
less stylized, yeah,
like movie quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Riley?
I was just saying, you know, less, a little bit less stylized. The Clone Wars is definitely, I mean, the Clone Wars is amazing in what they do. But if you look at a Republic cruiser in the Clone Wars and then rewind and look at the Republic cruiser in the opening scene of Revenge of the Sith, there's a difference. It looks very different in terms of quality. But that doesn't make the Clone Wars necessarily less believable. I guess my point is, I may eat my words, but I can kind of sympathize with people who are unhappy that they're not moving ahead and slashing the budget to where it's not as visual. I don't think it's because it's all about the special effects that they want a bigger budget. I think that they want to make a more visceral, in-depth, amazing cinematic television show that's in the one-hour serialized format. And they don't have a market for it yet, and they don't have someone who's willing to back it yet. It's just not ready. Yeah. And I could see something screenings, like in the old days, you know, back in the days of Flash Gordon, when you could go to the matinee theater and pay 50 cents. It's like back in the 1950s, way before my time, but you know, where you could go to the theater and watch serialized television for a matinee price. I could kind of see something like that would be very exciting, and I would pay $5. I don't know. I would pay good money though to see each episode of the live action series if they're going to the theater each week or something like that.
Very interesting to see how storytelling is being told in this modern media. And I mentioned overarching stories, but I also like the episodic style of the Clone Wars to some degree. Sometimes I wish that there was one whole grand scheme behind it all, but short stories are good too, and it's one reason why I love the Tales of books from Star Wars so much.
Absolutely.
Do you guys have a preference between overarching story versus just multiple short stories?
I very much preference, but go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of like the more episodic, but I do like there to be character, you know, to transfer over into each episode. Like, I don't want them to be like, oh, they're going to be the same character that they were in this episode and the next episode. I want there to definitely be character development going all throughout, and that's going to be sort of like the overarching aspect, but definitely more, you know, different struggles and different, you know, I guess monster of the week, almost for, you know, this as far as story wise.
Yeah. See, I'm when it comes to my TV shows, I like to bridge it. I like to have the best of both, you know, in the regards. I like to have my little action going on here with the overall arc, you know, that gets picked up another couple episodes with a filler episode in between. You know, I don't mind that. But with my books, you know, I've always said New Jedi Order is one of my favorite series. I love the way that series plays. We call it a series. It's treated like a series. It's an era. But yet, when you really look at the book series itself, it's just a collection of standalones, duologies, and trilogies. No different than anything else. The only major key here is that they had authors working in an overall plot. That's something that you really hardly ever have. Even with these 9-book series, you just only had a couple of them working together. And as you can see from one book to the next, they really weren't working that well together like they were in the New Jedi Order. So, you know, I think that that's my preferred route. But like I said, on TV shows, I'm not above a good filler episode now and then. I love the Tales books.
Yeah.
The reason why I like them is mainly because they give you more options. But the reason why I dislike the Tales books is because typically Del Rey doesn't run with most of those options. Mara Jade, Coran Horn, maybe Boba Fett. How many other characters from the Tales of books have seen other books? I mean, really?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be interesting on the live action series kind of to see who heads up that project and who's going to take on the enormous project, the enormity of it. It's intimidating, I'm sure, for anyone to take on something like the Star Wars property that wants to take it back to that next level where it's big time again.
Remember what Timothy Zahn said and every other author at the Dragon Con panel on the multiple author Star Wars panel that they would not want to write the death of any of the big three no matter what.
Yeah.
They would rather write practically anything else.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
So dealing in storytelling like that is just interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you one person we know who won't be making the live action series. That's George Lucas. In a New York Times article, he actually said, quote, and I quote, "I'm retiring. I'm moving away from this business, from the company, and from all this kind of stuff." Of course, he was all the stuff and things. He was careful to leave an exception for a fifth Indiana Jones film, so I think that's still in his mind. But otherwise, Red Tails is going to be his last blockbuster. And that goes on later in the interview to say he's still very much open to make more personal art house type films, which I think is good. I really hope Red Tails, coming out this weekend, folks, go see it. I hope Red Tails kind of is that one item that really proves a lot of his critics wrong. I think he has the writing power and storytelling power that really will bring out what's already an amazing story into a great action-packed film adaptation. But that's neither here nor there.
For all his faults and flaws, George Lucas is a great filmmaker, just overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's another article which I wanted to bring up a counterpoint to that. George Lucas wants to retire and make art films. And it's like, sure he does, because he has been saying off and on for many years now that that's what he wants to do, but he always winds up making another blockbuster film.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting where he says no more blockbusters. Does that include...
with the exception of Indy 5.
Yeah, but does that include a TV series, like the live action
show? I actually think it does, because I think he's ready to... and you'll have to find an article with a quote. I don't have it in front of me, but he's paraphrasing, basically saying, "Well, why keep going when everybody hates everything you do? Ever hate? It's kind of like what I said last week, actually."
I saw that as just a passive aggressive comment from George, though. I didn't take too much stock into it.
You weren't taking it too seriously, Mark.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, like Bethany said, he's been saying for a long time he plans on doing this certain type of films. And the way he talks about these films is obviously different than what he refers to as a blockbuster film. I mean, to me, it just sounds like an official statement, something he's always said, you know, he was going to be doing. But basically, Red Tails is my swan song. And what a good way to go out. I mean, if this is going to do what we're hoping and praying that it'll do. I mean, when I say hoping and praying, when I saw that trailer, I am expecting just from beginning to end awesomeness. And, you know, it sounds like that way. I know Aaron in the chat says it's not getting good reviews, but I don't know where that's coming from yet. Myself, I've only heard nothing but good things and all the hype around it. You know, and this is a very, I don't know, I want to say explosive topic right now. But before I really jump into it, I wanted to say one last thing on the live-action TV show. They were using the title Underworld, which, you know, Bethany mentioned. But that is actually a title that was used before on a comic. And I know some people have complained about this. But I was thinking of it like this. You know, we've switched to Legacy, Legacy War, KOTOR, KOTOR War. And in that regards, I don't see it that different. But I did want to address that title is not new to Star Wars. If you have read, I think it was Underground, the Yelsenic Mission or something like that. I know I hosed that name up. But it was out there as a comic about Han Solo or something on Yavin. Can't exactly remember. I haven't got it yet.
Clone Wars. How many Clone Wars series have we had?
Yeah, exactly. But getting back to George, you know, I think he's trying, like you said, Riley, he's trying to prove something to Hollywood. And I think that the comment he made to those that hate the things, I think that gets back to the Hollywood side of things. The writer was even talking about how the fanboys were being just like the writer's studio. They were trying to draw up, you know, a coincidence there, a similarity. You know, and to me, it was almost bad writing because it seemed like, well, they don't know enough about Star Wars fandom, so it's okay to just rile up half of the fans. And that's what I saw immediately, was a lot of people going, whoa, the haters have ruined it. George is out. Oh, it's all your fault. And, you know, and then you'd see some people that were very animate about certain things or just critiquing in general, getting defensive because they're like, well, I'm just pointing out this or that and the other thing. And, you know, it's one of those things you got to stop, not get caught up in the moment. You know, look at things George has been saying for years. 9 movies, 12 movies, 6 movies, 3 movies. The man is always contradicting himself. So, you know, whatever the statement comes out today, I take it as a PR statement, you know?
It's like
he said things to get people off his back. Now, if we see episodes 7, 8, 9 come out later, he totally smokescreened us now. And that would be classic George Lucas. Because why? We went through a whole period where all we were getting were a few books, and then bam! Prequel trilogy, and George Lucas jumps right into TV shows. Star Trek, anyone? Most people were Star Trek fans because it was on TV. You know, if George was doing it back then, Star Trek wouldn't have had a shot in heck. Not like what it did. Why? Because George wasn't doing anything. People wanted an outlet for their sci-fi, and they went that genre. The books saw that, and they said, hey, wait a minute. Star Trek books are hosing it up. They have no continuity. Let's roll with that. And it was successful. George jumps back in, successful. I could see him totally doing a PR campaign here and him just blowing smoke. Yeah. It's something he has done in the past.
Well, I think it is a little difficult to judge someone else's, I'm not saying you're judging, but it's hard to see what's behind what a person's saying. If they're truly angry and say, why would I make any more when everybody yells at you for all the time and says what a terrible person you are, or if they're more using it as a PR stunt, you know, you can't really judge what's behind a statement like that. So the statement's there, obviously, but it's difficult to tell what he's thinking when he says it. Next, Riley?
How cool would it be? It's 10, 20 years from now, George Lucas's will, the box opens up and it's the scripts, 7, 8, 9. I'm telling you.
Time sealed, man. I can just see it now with an R2 box going off in front of it.
Well, let's go ahead and switch over to a little bit of an interviewing with Ryan Zasso.
Yes, we got a couple minutes here, not too many, but I want to ask you, Ryan, a few questions and start doing this on different guests that we have on the show and actually just talk to them personally. What's happening, man?
not much. Just working on my reviews every week and just seeing what's going on around the community. And
let me ask you this. What's your story? How did you first discover the online Star Wars fan community? What's your story there?
Oh, okay. Well, I was I got in, I think the first thing I did like in the community, I was always like a Star Wars fan. I read a good amount of, you know, some of the books, you know, read the comics and the other things and stuff like that. But then I started listening to podcasts and,
Once you go down that dark path, my friend. Yeah.
just like a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
you have no idea how many podcasts I have on my MP3. Very much the dark path, as Riley said.
You're talking. I have like 36 here. This is ridiculous. I need to cut back. Wow. So Ryan, what was it that made you? I know you did. You actually started your own podcast for some time, and then weren't able to continue it. But what was the story there?
Oh, a friend I had from the Forcecast community. We should just make a podcast. And then
that sounds a lot like us.
Yeah. That's
fun. And then it lasted about a year, and I was pretty impressed with how well, you know, the community reacted to it for the most part. And then I started listening to when I started doing the podcast, I started looking to other podcasts, you know, just to see, you know, who else is out there. Which I think that really helped me too. And one of those podcasts was EUcast, and that's actually where I first. It was during the days where it was you, Riley, and Mark, and then so I'm like, these guys are cool.
Yes, and, yes. It was the beginning of a much evolving tale, and then here we sit today, recording our 30th live podcast for StarWars.com. Crazy. Well, what's as a Star Wars fan, where did you first get introduced to the material? Was it did you watch the prequels or original trilogy first?
It's a little vague because it's a long time ago, but I remember having the originals as a kid on VHS, and actually we just upgraded to DVD like a year ago. Because our VHSs started to wear out, so. But then I saw all the prequels in theaters, though I can't remember Phantom Menace.
What's your favorite moment that you had watching one of the Star Wars movies in the theater? What was a pivotal moment where you're like, good grief, this is awesome.
Probably when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of Boba Fett. And so and Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was my favorite Jedi like ever. So him fighting Jango Fett on Kamino was just the coolest thing ever. And that was just incredible.
That's a great moment. And wow, that's great. I remember that. What was the Obi-Wan quote when Jango goes over the edge? I'm trying to remember. It's like, what was it? I need to watch it again. Man, this is horrible. We need to
Back to the basics.
Back to the basics. That's right. Move back.
Ryan.
Reconnect.
Ryan, what continues to be something inspiring, the inspiration that keeps you going as a Star Wars fan? Why are you here? Why are you still here? What are you doing here?
I should go then. I like to talk about Star Wars.
Good answer.
And then I really don't have like a place to like say it, but like the internet is perfect, and I love writing for the Star Wars Report, and it's just fun working with you guys, and you know, talking with you guys on like the chat and all that, and yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Ryan, we certainly enjoy talking to you, and thank you for writing these great Clone Wars review blog posts that you put up each week on StarWarsReport.com. I always look forward to reading them. And another thing, it makes me want to watch them again. And so I think I'll start doing that, watching the Clone Wars episodes twice. It's been two seasons since I would do that, and I think I'll do that. Return to the basics.
That's now that I've got a Blu-ray player, I am very looking forward to getting the Clone Wars on Blu-ray as well as the saga, because I admit my blasphemy ways. The first Blu-ray film I watched was the new Star Trek movie, because they didn't have it at Blockbuster when I was buying my Blu-ray movies. But, when it comes to the Clone Wars, I was waiting. That was one of those things that, you know, I watched it when it came out, but I've been going back on other things, and the more you rewatch things, the more you reread things, the more things you miss pop out, and I think that that's part of the joy of when I interact with all you guys, because you guys see things in ways that I didn't see it, and so then I go back with your guys' point of view, and new things pop up, and that just always makes it a fun ride.
Definitely. Yeah, it's always fun to revisit. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on this episode, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again in all the various online ways. I think that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report. If you want to contact the Star Wars Report, you can email us like Anthony did at the beginning of the episode, starwarsreport@gmail.com. I teased it, but we had the Dark Side Burger. I was alerted to this by a listener, Jesse, who did such a great job. I'm sad we weren't able to spend more time, but we were running out of time now. But Well, can you read me one quote, Bethany? I think the last one was the best one.
Okay. Well, quotes about the burgers. I'll just read the email. It's actually pretty short.
Okay.
To the Star Wars Report. My wife brought this article to my attention. A Belgian fast food chain is promoting the Phantom Menace 3D with some outlandish-themed burgers. The best part, though, comes in the comments after the short article. The first few are a laugh riot. Star Wars fans sure are creative. Here are a couple of my favorites. In your belly, it will bring a whole new meaning to pain and suffering, as it is slowly digested over 1,000 years.
Yes. Mm.
If you scarf me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
That's a good one.
I ate them. I ate them all. They're gone. Every single bite of them. And not just the burgers, but the fries and the sodas, too.
They're like animals.
And I devoured them like animals.
I ate them.
That last one especially. Hope you enjoy this if you haven't seen it already.
My apologies. It wasn't Jesse. It was our listener,
Eric.
Our listener, Eric. Yes, of course, Eric. Wow.
Thank you, Eric.
On that note, that's going to do
made
it.
Made us laugh.
So long, folks. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast and eat all those burgers.
But don't worry. We're cloning them.
I need to see that cloning facility, Mark. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, the cloning facility is completely off limits. We can't let anyone in there. We can't tamper the process.
Nope, no. Bad things happen.